And now a scene from last week's It's a Show.
Hey, it's the Big Swag from Pastime and Monster Garage, and you're listening to GA and Sparky on It's a Show. Really, you guys called your show It's a Show? You couldn't come up with something different? Really, that's what you called it? It's a Show! Get with it, folks!
Episode 62 of It's a Show.
20. The Big 2-0.
Oh, this is our anniversary episode, our celebratory 20th birthday episode, and we are celebrating with renowned Canadian country music recording artist, singer-songwriter extraordinaire, producer of noted records as well, Dwayne Steele, live in the house.
Don't stop. I got a move.
The kind the drugstore said. If you really wanna break the heart, just breathe. Leave it made easy. The trouble with love is it has no sense of direction. Our paths were never meant to cross. Gotta fix what's wrong with us. 'Cause there ain't.
How's
Man,
it going?
It's going great.
It's nice to finally be here.
Yeah, I was thinking just today I mentioned around the office that you should do a theme song for a reality show about couples, and you could call it I Need to Get Married.
Yeah.
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 Just change the lyrics to Anita Got Married just a little
bit. Nice one.
I need to get married. You know?
That's nice.
All right. So let's start off with, well, Sparky, do you want to talk about running first before we get to Dwayne's life and times?
We could talk about running. Starting.
Are you
trend.
Serious that you started running?
Look, I signed up for the Color Me Rad thing this summer. It's a 5K event. It happens in Edmonton and Calgary, I believe. I'm going to the one in Edmonton.
There's not enough runs around here that you got to go out of town.
The one I wanted to do in this city, I'm already away on a wedding. So I have to, you know, find a hole in the schedule.
Just as an editor's note, Dwayne, last week he went on a rant about how he hates all these weddings he's invited to because it's just a shield for the people to get presents.
It is.
From
it's
him.
A money grab.
Yeah, you might find your bride. No,
this is what they say, and I've been to 20 weddings, and that's not happened.
Yeah.
Trust me, I go in with an open mind.
I don't know if it's the wedding's fault.
It's the 25th one. That's right. Where you're going
to
find.
So that'll be this one in this summer. So anyways, I'm going to the Color Me Rad. Basically, it's a 5K run, walk, whatever. Just finish the stupid thing. But as you're running the course, they throw like color dye at you.
They're doing one of those right here in town.
That's right.
Yeah.
Different name, different. Yeah.
RunnerDie.com.
Similar, different, same, different, similar.
You don't want to run. You want to have a reason to run because people are chasing you with paintballs.
I think so. I have no idea. All I know is that I need to be active and I'm not. So no. I started running. I just went out and ran. Didn't make it a block. I died. I died.
Dwayne does a lot of walking with the dog and his son.
Yeah. Well, I actually started working out years ago. Me and a buddy up in Edmonton, you know, we used to frequent this little pub up there. My buddy's daughter goes, you know, Dad, you got to start working out. You guys spend all this time sitting in that studio and stuff. It's like, what? We walk home from the bar every night.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Seriously? Come on.
And from there, I just kept it up.
So you went to...
Because that bar closed, so I mean, I just had to keep it up. Like, I kept walking.
So you went to a different bar?
I kept
walking
in search of another one.
And you found a gym.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So when you're at the gym, so I was just at the gym today, and the cardio I used to hate, and now I'm okay with the cardio, but then I got to look forward to the weights and the stretching and the gut after. That's... What's the part you like doing and hate doing at the gym, Dwayne?
Well, I actually enjoy walking on the treadmill, and if there's a row of
TVs.
Well, yeah, we'll say TVs.
Oh, but I was see gonna what say you're saying.
There was
reality
a row of
shows.
Other
reality shows.
Of viewings in front of me. That's my favorite spot in the gym. But I will actually work out too.
That's not how the way my gym's set up. We just have one row and then there's TVs.
Do you face the
wall?
In case
my wife's listening.
Oh, yeah.
It's all I'm looking at is the freaking TVs.
I was going to ask you about your cardio. What do you do? Like 30 minutes of jogging?
Let's not get crazy with the 30. What I used to do is 20 religiously of, and now I crank it up to 30 sometimes, but it's hard.
Of course,
it's called an ARC trainer. So it's basically like a big time stepper.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Stuff,
yeah.
But it's scientifically designed. So you're burning more calories as you go. And it's cool. I like that thing. I hated it the first week. I'm going to die here. It's ridiculous, but now it's good. I like that.
I use this app that I just got actually on Tuesday. It's called Couch to 5K, and it walks you through. It's a 30-minute workout. It tells you what you need to do. So for the first 5 minutes, you do a brisk walk to warm up, and then you do like a minute jog, and then you do a minute and a half walk, and then you do a minute jog. So you alternate, and it tells you when you need to switch it up.
Yeah.
Then it's going to get harder. You're going to do less walking, more running, right?
Right, so, as you prepare for your 5K.
That's right.
Because I've done a 5K. And I've done a 10K. Have you ever gone in a competitive race or anything?
Well, I did a 26K or something like that.
No, I did a 26K.
Yeah, I did.
You're full of that. You're just trying to look cool in front of all your fans.
It's 26K.
Yeah. Well, 26 miles is a marathon. Kilometers. I don't know what
it is. Yes, no, I didn't do miles. I did.
Wow.
No, I did a 13 kilometer. Mm. That's what it was. Yeah.
So and, what the hell?
It took me...
6 days.
No.
It would take me.
It took me right around 2 hours or something like that. I did it fairly slow tempo.
Dude.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No.
Were you like dying or no?
Well, I had trained.
Yeah.
I had trained a whole summer to sort of do it. It was it was a breast cancer run
in
Edmonton
years
ago. It was before I met Shauna. So we're talking.
You know, you got a hot girl when her name is Sauna.
Sauna. Anyway, whatever her name is.
Yes.
So I was actually quite active at that time, you know, and I got married and I kind of got that, you know, but we work.
Well, she's a great cook is part of the problem.
She's a great cook.
Yeah.
But we work out. We take the dog for a walk. I go for walks. I go through phases of work, you know.
And you get a lot of fresh air, though, because you like being outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you were born in the bush.
I was born
under
in the bush,
a chicken house.
Exactly.
You were born this way.
In a chicken coop. Yes.
I don't know, man. I got a love-hate thing with running. And running on the ARC trainer or whatever you're doing at the gym is wussy compared to actual real running because you're hitting the hard ground. And
yeah.
A lot of people do trail running.
Yeah.
And I thought that might be interesting because you're actually going through the forest and like it's all different, you know, in different elevations. And you really got to be on your game and watch what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that might be something to try.
Yeah, I particularly enjoy watching that from
from afar.
Well, you see what happens is like if you come down those hills and stuff, especially on trails, like a guy my age, you could snap your ankle off.
Oh man, like, at our age, man, yeah, we're getting brittle.
Yeah,
you want to maybe stay sedentary.
That's all there is to it.
He's much younger, so he's still got a few good years left.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Okay, so running's good. We covered that off. You want to? We got to talk about this.
You have to talk about this.
David Letterman retiring.
Last week, and by the way, just for something to do, I announced that I was retiring, and I'm hoping now that I can hang on long enough so my son can take over the show.
Yeah. Okay. I hope.
By the way, it's Derek Jeter's final year in baseball. Don't you hate it when a guy announces his retirement a year in advance, then spends every day milking it for cheap sentimentality?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Stephen Colbert taking his place.
Hello, Governor.
Nice to see you.
Hello, Governor.
Yes, hello.
Spare a tuppence for a poor London man.
I have a tuppence for you. Yes, I do.
I lost my job at the pudding factory.
That's right.
And my ma's got the rickets. I need some black pudding and a pickled kidney.
Okay, we'll take care of all of that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dave, it's actually me.
Oh, I had no idea.
Stephen Colbert. Yeah.
When you heard about the retirement of Letterman, is that your initial thought was, oh, yeah, it's going to be Colbert?
No, I actually didn't think about it. I just thought, holy smokes, 30 years.
Yeah.
Christ, I don't think I've stayed up that late for 10 years. But
No, me either.
But I certainly did at one time and appreciate the show. But I don't know. Why don't they just let it go?
Yeah, you could do that, I guess. But you know what? I think now more than ever, there's a very talented crop of talk show hosts mm-hmm. out there.
Right.
Like Jimmy Kimmel is unbelievable.
You're a big yeah. Kimmel fan.
I love Kimmel. I love Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
He's really kicking it. Your homeboy, Craig Ferguson, let's discuss.
Yes.
Because he wrote a contract with CBS when he got the later show or whatever it's called. And if Letterman looked them over and they didn't choose him to host the show after Letterman retired, he gets anywhere from $5 to $8 million instantly.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's a good move right there. But Ferguson's hilarious. But we were talking about, what about Tina Fey?
Another woman already? What did you say to her?
I did a fake survey.
You did the fake survey?
I know. I'm not over it. And now I'm wearing this. What is the deal with my life?
Are you imitating me?
No! This is what I sound like when I cry!
I think I'm a little insulted.
You're insulted! I'm crying!
Tina Fey would have made it a great... Don't you think?
I think
she's
so.
Hilarious.
I don't think she would have wanted the job.
No.
I think that's why she ended 30 Rock. She's ready for that. Or maybe she just wanted that chapter to close and so she could move on to other things. I'm not too sure, but.
Having a female in that late night talk
good.
Show host.
That'd
I mean,
be cool.
Yeah. And Ellen knocks it out of the park every afternoon.
Well,
right?
Like, yeah. Why sure. you know, turn something off when it's just cooking money and doing so well for
yeah,
her?
Yeah, you're saying she should stay put.
Oh, she's got a great thing going on the show there.
Every time I think, she's not that good, I tune in for like 10 seconds. I go, oh my God, that woman's hilarious.
Yeah.
Colbert, I don't know how familiar you guys are with him, but I was on a jag there and I just could not believe how funny.
Oh, he's great.
And how he never gives up the illusion. Like it's like Howard Stern in a way. Howard Stern's not exactly the way you hear him on the radio. He's close, but he never gives up the illusion. Yeah. One time I think Letterman asked him, when you're not performing, who do you listen to on the radio? And he goes, there is no one else to listen to. I'm the only thing that's good on the freaking radio. And, you know, so he kept it going right from
late at night. If I really want to spend any time with my wife, I got to watch like The Bachelor, Bachelorette and stuff like that.
Damn it.
And that's the only time we get time together. So I'm forced into it. Right. So, but you know, so these shows, I remember the Colbert show. He's like, does the political satire, you know, quite often.
He's just,
I remember seeing that and quite funny. So, I would give him, if there has to be a nod, I'd give him the nod for that.
I think an unexpected choice. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Craig Ferguson. Obviously, I'm a big fan.
By the way, Dwayner, he was on Ferguson's show. He got airtime internationally on the Craig Ferguson show because him and his buddy traveled down there and they got picked to be on the show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Long story from 2 years ago. Yeah, it was a great experience. I've read his books. I kind of feel like I know him a little bit in a way, but I don't think he ever wanted The Late Show. At least that's what he, you know, puts out, that he doesn't want.
He doesn't need it.
He's very happy with what he's got.
Stinking
and
rich.
When I was looking about that article about him getting that extra money, his contract ends this year, and there's been reports that maybe, you know, they won't renew the show. But I guess CBS has played down those reports. They're happy with what he's doing at that time slot. They had an issue with the 11:30 because David Letterman retired or will be retired. So they need to, you know, fill that time slot. So they weren't too worried about renewing Craig Ferguson's contract or whatever. But then this article that I read, was The Late Show Craig Ferguson's to give up? And I got a little clip here that I'll play. This is a former executive who works with the late night programming. And here's what she has to say about that situation.
I was one of the people who put Craig Ferguson on the air these many years. And I was happy to do so. He was a great, great host. I don't know what that decision was. I'm guessing, but I would imagine that Craig had a lot to say about it. I think that it was his to give up. And he's been doing a lot of other things. He's been doing features. He's doing a lot of different things that are not as much work as an 11:30 gig would be. And he's very comfortable where he is. Now, if he doesn't stay, that's another consideration. I don't know what his plans are. I haven't spoken to any of the folks over there. But at CBS, I think they've just made a great choice. They've got a franchise that's going to continue, and it's going to make, you know, it's just, and they'll build on that. If Craig decides to stay, it'll be two great shows, if he leaves, then they're going to have to come up with something else. And that's always troublesome.
Yeah, and he's got that big game show that's coming up this fall. So, and he's a busy guy. Stand-up tours. I think he's just happy. I think he's fine. He lives in L.A. with his family.
Yeah, I think that's logical. I wonder how much Letterman had to say about choosing his successor. He probably had some heavy... Yeah, it's worldwide pants, after all. Like
That's big pants to fill.
Okay, Smitty, we're talking about Ryan Smith retiring from the Edmonton Oilers organization.
I wanted to thank Mr. Keats for allowing me to come back to Edmonton, where my career all started. It was supposed to be an exciting time where alongside these young talented players who are here today, we could take another trip to the playoffs. That didn't happen, but I am thankful I got the opportunity to try. As frustrating as it's been for me to not see that happen, the fans have to be frustrated too. But they are loyal fans and the best fans in the world. I am humbled by your support. It's one of the reasons it's been so special to play here all these years.
Ryan Alexander Gordon Smith.
Yeah, he wanted to come back to do that very thing, right? I want to finish here in Edmonton. Skated a few years with those young guys, you know, that are the guns.
Yeah, they kept him for a mentoring role,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I think he's offered probably whatever he's going to offer them that way in terms of... you know, experience and stuff. So it might be just time for this. You know, it'll be sad to see him. You know, hockey's losing a great.
Well, he's Captain Canada, right?
Like,
but I have a feeling if I was an NHLer, I would be the Ryan Smith player because just stand in front of the net and jam it in.
Yeah.
There's no, like, you know, nice five-hole goals. It's just like, I'm going to jam it right in.
He gets down and dirty in the
office. Every goal he ever scored was a dirty goal.
Just dirty.
Like, it was not pretty.
Yeah, but that's work ethic, too.
Absolutely.
You got to be there, and you got to fight off everybody to stay there. And, he showed work ethic for sure.
Absolutely.
What I really like about him is his personality. I mean, he is I've only met him once. Briefly, and there was a photo op.
Was that the same time
that was you had
backstage
told me,
at a bar show.
He told me he was backstage. I did not believe you. I was just new into the radio biz, and I, of course, I'm just getting my first taste of celebrities. So I go back there, and he's back there, and I lose my mind.
He was wearing some kind of really womanly purple shirt. It was a purple puffy shirt, was it not?
Are you guys talking about Edmonton?
Yeah,
you
were there too.
We played the club.
Playing on stage that night. We were partying with him in the backstage.
That's right.
And who else was there? Gagne was
several
there.
Of them.
And Glenn Cross was with the team still back then, which he still should be now. We all agree. But Glenn Cross, you know, what do you want me to do? We're raising money for kids. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So he took off his shirt and he'd take off his shirt if they filled his boots full of money. He took off his cowboy boots and we filled his boots full of money. It was crazy.
Ryan Smith, when the Oilers warm up on game day, they said this on the news conference today that he's the first one on the ice, first one off the ice.
First one on and last one off?
That's what I meant. Okay. Last one off.
Right.
Last one off.
It's not as cool
When warm up is over, he will pick up three practice pucks, and toss them to the crowd, to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I read on Twitter today, I think the number of pucks, like, it's extraordinary how many he's given away, like thousands. So that's pretty cool.
He's got good heart, and it was good to see, like you said, him finish his career with the Oilers on his chest.
So the Oilers are probably thinking this is an economic decision, too, with all the pucks going out.
Yeah, he's going, what the hell are you doing, man?
5 cents for those things. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine.
I got some wicked pucks at a garage sale a couple of years ago. I still got them in my room on the show. The Pittsburgh Penguins and like all the old logos and the old branding and stuff. I don't know. Some collector must have had them. Some of them are a little beat up, but they're still pretty cool.
I got a puck in the head when I played. I did. And that's probably
is that why you got in the music business?
Absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, it's like, okay.
How long did you play hockey when you were a kid?
I played up to midget, I believe, which was like 15-ish, somewhere 14, 15, in there.
Yeah.
And then, but I was always real small, right? So I, you know, it was always a struggle for me to sort of, you know, these guys, you know, at 15 years old, there was some pretty big boys out there and stuff. And I was I was tired of getting the freaking wind knocked out of me.
Yeah.
You know, on the boards and laying on the ice, wondering if you're going to make that next
play. That happened to me in football in high school. And there's no feeling quite like getting just cranked and you can't breathe. I mean, that's not good. It's not
but
good.
I loved hockey. Loved, you know, I thought, you know, it wasn't that I was a terrible player. I wasn't a great player, but I was pretty good on the decent skater and pretty good with a stick, but it was just too small. And
see, that's weird because you're like a good-sized guy now,
right?
I
grew up when I was like 18. I think I shot up a little bit, so it was like... Yeah.
like kids like us on the farm, and we're all like have farm experience. You got to do all this farm work. We're scrawny little buggers. We're carrying these huge chop pails and bales, yeah. like oat bales that are wet. Then you're going, and ripping every muscle out. And then, you know, and then you don't grow until you leave home like 10 years later. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Could have used that muscle earlier. Now I got lots of muscle right here.
Right in the middle part.
Right in the middle. Okay, I was going to ask you when I was talking about collectible pucks, do you collect anything, Dwayne?
I don't really.
Did you ever?
No. I collected music for a year, like when I was a kid.
Albums and stuff?
I sold bottles. I used to pick rocks. I used to work for farmers up there all the time. When I was a young kid, we'd pick rocks every summer.
Yeah.
We'd get these jobs in the spring before the guys went out on the fields and stuff to pick rocks and stuff, right? So all that money or would go into buying, I'd buy records. Like I was probably the weirdest kid in town. But
so what was
I
the record store?
Records.
Do you remember the record
store? It was
store?
Just a hardware store in town. It was
nice.
It was Dale Hahn's Hardware
yeah.
up in Hinds Creek, Alberta. And they would bring in the records and, you know, comb through the latest releases and stuff. And
yeah.
I'd always just buy music. So I had quite a good record collection and an eclectic. Eclectic.
Yeah, you like all genres
yeah,
of music.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Which
yeah.
shapes what you do today, and it brings something yeah. extra to the table when you're producing country records, right?
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Because you got that knowledge. I grew up pretty much in Tramps record stores. You remember Tramps? They had them in all the bigger...
Yeah.
Saskatoon.
I remember that name. Yep.
We were on the outskirts right next to the city of Saskatoon, so I would be able to go into Tramps all the time, and I'd spend hours in there just looking for awesome books and records. It was super fun.
It's sad to see the demise of those things.
Did you buy records when you were a kid?
Well, the actual records? No.
No.
But we did have a record player that would never work when I was growing up. And the only thing I really remember about growing up in a small town, Alberta, was radio every now and then. And I just remember in 95, I think that's when Shania Twain's Come On Over came out.
Right.
Dad got the cassette and he was so excited to play it for us. And it was a cassette tape, popped it in. And that's the first
Your dad
real...
dad was into Shania, eh?
Yeah.
I think a lot of dads were into Shania.
And, or wish they were.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, cha-ching.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
And then I can't remember. I don't remember buying my first ever CD. I do remember that CDs were an arm and a leg back in the day when they first kind of came out, I guess. And it was a Radio Shack in Westlock that my brother and I would often go and look, but we didn't have $25, $30 for a CD.
Yeah.
And then when we were old enough to...
That's what you get now, Dwayne, for a CD, right? 25, 30?
Oh, yeah. I try and get a little more.
And back to your record store stories. I guess mine would be when I was 16, I was able to drive into Edmonton to West Edmonton Mall, and they had built that huge HMV.
Yeah.
And we would spend a lot of time in there just...
It's like an amusement park if you like records.
Yeah. CDs. And they would have listener lounges. And that's my modern day...
Yeah,
memories
the equivalent
and
for me would have been when I lived in Nashville in the 90s. They had Tower Records in Nashville.
Oh, cool!
That was one of the best.
Yeah.
CD stores, just everything.
Ernest Tubbs Record Shop.
Yep,
I've read the legends. Know that there was a radio show that emanated from there and stuff, but never been in there. What's that
like? Yeah, I hadn't been in there. Either.
You haven't been.
No,
I
didn't
gotta go to Nashville, man. Go to Ernest Tubbs Records.
I know.
Been to Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, some of the iconic spots, but never went to Ernest Tubbs Record Shop. And how cool is that? Doing a radio show from there. That must have been amazing,
mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Pretty darn cool.
So here's a question: do you buy CDs at all now? At all ever?
I'm in the record business, so I don't have to buy them there very much. My kids download a lot of music from iTunes.
Digital, yeah.
Yeah. And they're really, I mean, kids today, they have thousands of singles on their iPods. And I don't know when you have, I still like the CD because I just jam it in the car. So if Dwayne Steele's new record comes out, which it's going too soon, and he's going to give me an advance copy, then I just cruise around and I say, oh, well, that was a bad choice on track four. You know,
I still buy CDs. Mm-hmm. I buy both, actually. I go on iTunes. If I want something right now and I'm, you know, if I'm writing or whatever and I'm going, hey, I just need a little bit of a kick or want to reference a song or something, I'll buy it right away off iTunes. But I love going out and there's still, to me, I love the tactile, you know, being able to open up a CD.
Because back when their albums were there, it was an event because you studied it, you felt it. It was like a book from a library as opposed to reading something off your iPad.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love studying the way they put the record together. And this
who wrote the songs? Yeah. Who produced it?
Yeah. And
who
did the photography? That, but
who did the artwork? So, everything.
So small now, man. Like, let's be honest. We don't have our glasses. Again, who wrote this? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. And that's sad, really. I mean, I'm going to miss that because I don't think we're probably, 3 to 5 years away from that being gone.
I was in
to buy a CD, a player to go with my computer the other day. And the guy goes, what? Why do you want this? I'm going, I have about 400 CDs at home that I still want to
rip.
And I may want to digitize them so I can save them or whatever, right? And put them in my iPods and all that stuff. But it's like he looked at me like I had a carrot growing out of my forehead.
You know, I feel like, and I hope I'm right, I feel that there's going to be a resurgence of vinyl because of the retro feel of it.
Yeah.
And there already has been to a small degree.
Yeah.
Like London Drugs in this town, you go, and they got a fairly okay, not epic or anything, but they got quite a few records in there. And some classic, iconic albums that you want from like Boston or Fleetwood Mac Rumors and all that stuff, right?
The Boney M. Christmas album.
Oh, to be
my
sure.
My dad's got that record.
To be sure. To be sure. Rah, rah, Rasputin.
I also, in the same way, I like buying CDs. If it's an artist and a band that I, you know, really, really like, because I love reading the notes inside. And I do a lot of digital now because over the last 2 years, I've shifted a lot towards digital because it's that easy.
And you're listening on TV sometimes, like whatever player you got through is that your iTunes or what are you watching?
Well, I can do both.
Yeah.
There's music channels.
Yeah.
That's just stream music, or I can play my iTunes off of my TV.
My son is on Groove Shark a lot.
That's Groove Shark's great,
and that's free to stream. There's no cost, but you can't download.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So he digs that, and you can always get the new stuff on there.
But once you move 20 times, like I have, 5 boxes of CDs is a bit much.
I have a
house to house.
Yeah.
I have about 5 bins, including one about the size of that sofa, full of CDs, and they are all 90s stuff that we love, because when I did this show in Toronto, I was kind of the acting music director, so they'd send me back in the day when they were wasting artists' money, like Dwayne's money, they would send you 4, 5, 6 copies of every record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd keep one, give one away for Christmas, have one in the library in the office, give away some.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I didn't give them all away because I got tons of them. And like Mavericks and Pam Tillis and
Mavericks.
Really good stuff.
Just downloaded Mavericks the other day.
Really
classic.
Cool stuff. We should bring that. I mean, you got plenty of room in here for crap. I can bring that bin in here and we could just showcase a record every week or something. We're always looking for giveaways.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that was... Ooh, what the...
Ooh!
Yanni.
2
mint condition CDs of Yanni.
Those
look at this
pristine.
Hair.
Pristine.
What's a Yanni?
You know, Yanni is a...
piano player, isn't he?
I don't know what
but
he is.
I think he was just an instrumentalist.
He's an instrumentalist. I've always mocked him in my career, but I don't really know what he sounds like. We should throw one of these in and see what he's all about.
He's a very,
how can you mock a guy with hair like Keith Partridge?
But how could you not? Look at his stash.
He's got a porn stash. Oh, I'm going to ask you, Dwayne, you're friends with Jamie Warren and you write with him, another Canadian artist.
I put up with him.
Yeah, put up with him. We all do. And did you see, it was his birthday this week.
That's right.
Did you see that mullet from the 89 or whatever? Oh my God.
That was classic.
That was that should be.
I had a laugh and then I went, wait a minute. I probably have something like that. Somewhere.
I'm serious. Google image. When you Google mullet, that should be that. Forget Billy Ray or anybody. Oh, here we go.
Oh yeah.
Yanni's,
is this him?
This is Yanni's rocking.
Nice.
This is Rites of Passage, everyone. Okay. Skip it.
I want to add to this.
Make it rain. Oh.
Oh, singer. And they cross the mountains. And they burst through the wall into West Berlin.
The Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
This is actually not that bad.
Hey, check out Rainmaker. Make it rain. Sparky, track 4 or 5 or whatever that is. This depresses me. I don't know.
It's Rainmaker. What do you expect?
It's depressing me.
Maybe it's April showers bring May flowers.
Sit down at the table. I just want to pour you a nice glass of wine. How about that little one in the corner? Just you by yourself. Yeah. No. Your wife comes this way. You go there.
You go
Oh, it's heating up now. It's getting dramatic. So what kind of instruments are these, Mr. Producer Man? What's happening?
I don't know. These sound like they're percussion instruments.
It's like a didgeridoo.
It sounds like a didgeridoo, I was going to say. I bet you that's Keith Urban on the didgeridoo.
Tribal chants?
Well, you know our friend, our mutual friend, Bruce Waychuk.
Yeah.
You know Bruce.
Yeah.
He has a didgeridoo. He brought all the way from Australia.
Can he play it?
Incredibly hard to play. Yeah, I tried getting sounds out of it, and it's like...
How about a harmonica? Can you play a harmonica?
I can blow a harmonica, but I can't really play one very well.
I think that's the coolest instrument ever.
That's great.
I'm keeping this.
Yeah.
That's good.
A giveaway, dude. Seriously, this is when you
give it away to my collection.
Actually, we were sort of poking fun, but Yanni is a very, very world-renowned artist.
He's the Wikipedia musician. Yanni for a sec, because I bet you he used to host the something. Oh, his real name is Yannis Chrysomalias from Kalamata, Greece.
Greece, yes.
Yeah. Disavowed by artist. He was disavowed for playing music too awesomely. I don't know what it is. Why is he disavowed?
I'm not sure.
Holy moly, that name. Cripes. Okay, scroll down on this bad boy. Is there any early life? Yanni displayed musical talent at a young age, playing piano at the age of 6. His parents encouraged him to learn at his own pace and at his own way with no formal music training. Okay, so how about you? I got to ask you that. Did your parents force you into guitar lessons and stuff, or did you just pick that up on your own?
No, I had lots of, my dad played fiddle.
Oh, cool.
And a little bit of guitar, but he loved playing fiddle and stuff. But I had lots of uncles. My oldest sister, Audrey, plays guitar.
Yeah.
But I had uncles on both sides of the family that were very musical.
So was
there was
to get
lots
your hands
of house
on one.
Parties and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, so I grew up with that, you know, all around me and stuff. So by the time
it's
years old, I guess I had already got my first guitar and started. And then I ended up in junior high having a great teacher by the name of Mike Byer, who was... He was an exceptional guitar player, but he's also a fantastic basketball player. But he was a little shorter.
Yeah,
and
point guard.
Yeah, I guess so. But great basketball player. But we used to. He was our health and phys ed teacher, so we would go into health class, like say go to health class, and then we would get the class studying, and then we'd go to the sick room and play guitar.
Cool.
He'd teach me guitar stuff, and we had a little record player in there with Hank Jr. and Emmylou Harris Records and Ricky Skaggs and all those guys.
Awesome.
So he turned me on to a whole bunch of cool music, and you know, it was just it was great. It was, and you know, aside from my uncles and stuff passing on what I could, I'd watch. Just it's funny how much you can learn by just watching as a kid, like chord shapes and stuff, and then just going off and practicing after and stuff.
Very cool. My son, 15 years old, he just brought up, he grabbed the guitar 2 days ago, and my oldest daughter's boyfriend taught him some chords, and he said, when I picked him up from school today, he said, Dad, I want to learn to play Johnny Cash songs. I go, okay, this is awesome. I don't want to get too excited.
All right,
that is so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too excited. You know, it's an ongoing thing, too, like music. I still practice all the time.
You do,
it's like playing hockey or something.
Yeah.
You got to
keep your chops up.
Yeah, you just lose it. Like, I mean, if I have 2 weeks off, I feel rusty, you know?
Right.
And that goes with singing, too, and stuff. You know, it's like anything, any muscle you have to keep sort of in tune to what you're doing. Like I said, hockey, I use that as an analogy, but any sport or any sort of thing that you're relying on repetition to sort of stay with you and stuff, you got to keep.
So your son, you're going to get him playing when he's old enough?
Well, I'm... He has access to anything and everything I have musically. And I will definitely sit down with him. I got him a ukulele and a little guitar and stuff. So he enjoys sitting down and banging away out with me. I'm not going to push it.
Yeah.
If he enjoys it, or if he shows an inclination towards it, sure. But
that's awesome.
You know, I hope he becomes something that makes a lot of money.
Yeah, all of us do.
But if he loves music.
Think of Uncle Greg fondly, Riken.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be eating soup out of freaking I can't even eat soup now. My can opener's busted.
Oh my God.
That thing's frustrated me for months, and finally it's bit the... The last can I opened, I was midway through making spaghetti sauce, and I didn't put the tomatoes in yet. I had the burgers cooked and whatever. And so I had to go crimp, like, because the Turner thing doesn't work. And it's like, oh,
you know, you could have called. I could have brought mine over.
Damn it. No, I was very close. I was going to lose it. Okay.
So. I've used a buck knife in that situation, but we were fishing and hunting. So
you,
it was like,
you open a can with a buck knife.
Well, I wouldn't advocate that or tell kids to do that or whatever. But yeah, out in the bush, we just stick a knife in there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about out in the bush.
It's not good.
Have you slaughtered innocent animals like Bambi?
I haven't.
No, never. No.
All my family hunts.
Yeah.
Mine too. The guys and I hunted, or I used to jump in the truck basically and go with my dad. When I was about 16, 17 years old, I was moose hunting with my dad. I got out and I actually shot at a moose and I think I hit it. And because it went down on the, and there was blood and stuff. So my dad and I, it walked off in the bush and it had a bunch of, it had several moose with it. So they created a whole pile of tracks. There was a first snow on the ground. So we tracked that thing for probably a day, a good day. Never found it. And I went, you know what?
This is not for me.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good about it in the first place.
Yeah.
No, I'm just not a...
Yeah, it's tough
I appreciate it. And me too. If I had to, I might go shoot an animal just to feed my family if it ever came to a bat.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. And I understand where it comes from.
Yeah. And I appreciate guys like my cousins are conservation officers, big hunters, the whole thing, make their living hunting, trapping, the whole thing. Yeah. And I get it. I don't know if it's for me. I feel un-Canadian by not doing it though.
Well, not really. I mean, it's
like, I mean, that's how this country was settled. You know, people hunting and trapping.
Well, otherwise, I know, but we've evolved.
Yeah.
That,
well, now you don't really have to. Yeah.
So now, we stick animals in a little wee in a barn and stuff humane. Steroids into.
Oh, good God! I don't want to get into that.
Okay,
now.
Let's. Okay.
What are you doing? Getting ready to kick some mad flavor in your ear?
No.
BCSR switches on.
Okay, Victor.
Landing rocket arm switches on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have the technology.
My dad says if a lot of people listen to this show, we can afford an Xbox.
Ah, yes!
That was embarrassing.
Hey, kids, put your Walkmans down and listen up.
There's a microphone to pick up sound, an amplifier to make the sound louder, and a receiver or earphone to pass it along to the ear.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Else does this. It's called What the Hell Is This Song About, where we take a popular song from any genre and we break down the lyrics and try and decipher what the thing is all about. Now, Dwayne has chosen one of my favorite all-time pop songs.
You can call me Al.
And Daddy, when you call me, you can call me Al. Call me Al.
Paul Simon. Paul Simon, the man, the legend. Incredible musician.
Oh,
and great voice. And Simon and Garfunkel and all. Bridge Over Troubled Waters is one of the definitive classic songs of the 70s, right? This, I mean, Paul's still making music and he's making different kinds. We were listening to Yanni. Paul's experimented. He's done lots of different types of music. If you're going to put a gun to my head and say favorite Paul Simon song, I'm going, You Can Call Me Al. Maybe it's because my real name is Alan Gregory, or my dad's name is Al, or...
There you go.
Maybe.
Well, you know, that was just a cool album too, because I think that was, you know, the Graceland album that came out in the 80s there. And he had, no one really had, North American had really gone to, that I know of anyway, in the pop, gone to Africa, recorded with African musicians made a record and then brought it home and went, you know, here it is. And
put it out
was,
there, yeah.
So it was such a unique musical thing at the time. I think it just, you know, it was over the top. Like he does a lot of stuff. It's just over
the top. Like he goes to the wall. Yeah. You got to appreciate that about anybody, like it or hate it. And I don't like all his stuff, but he goes to the wall.
When I was a little boy, I was just a boy. Like a Rock.
Yeah, that's Love Me Like a Rock.
Love that tune.
Apparently, Paul Simon did not like the original music video that was made. It was a performance of the song he gave during the monologue when he hosted SNL. In the perspective of a video monitor. A replacement video was conceived partly by Lorne Michaels from Saturday Night Live, and Chevy Chase dressed to look like Art Garfunkel, lip-synced all of Simon's vocals in the upbeat presentation with gestures punctuating the lyrics. Chase at 6'4", towered over the much smaller 5'3", Simon.
Well, they had him sitting down, basically, through the whole video, right?
Yeah.
He sat on the, you know, watching the screen. He was on the right-hand side, and Paul Simon kept coming in and out of this room and sitting down, and he'd bring in different instruments and kind of just play along, but
It
was kind of cool because it was like Chevy Chase's voice coming out of, or Paul Simon's voice coming out of Chevy. Chase.
Yeah. You know what I feel this segment needs, Sparky?
Mm-hmm.
Is another drink.
I know. yeah.
Let's pause.
Pause for the cause.
I'm on a kick with lime. Even though the price of limes is through the roof, I gotta buy lime for my rum now.
How much?
Because at your place we had one in every all 60 drinks.
Well, you're
a souse.
You were freaking drinking them. I would put a drink in front of me, and I'm not kidding you. 5 minutes later, I'm like,
I believe it.
Okay.
And then he's going, you know, you can pour yourself. He got sick of getting up.
Eventually, I just grabbed a couple bottles and stuck right in the middle of the table.
You know what? That'd be the time to. Well, you have a bar. I don't know why we don't go sit in the bar downstairs and drink. Because you got your own bar.
Next time.
Dwayne's bar.
We got to leave certain areas for different events.
Let's get back to You Can Call Me Al on What the Hell Is This Song About with our special guest, singer-songwriter Dwayne Steele. Dwayne, take us through this song. It's got some crazy lyrics. We got those lyrics to pull up here, Spark?
Well, I have no idea what this song's about. Man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? That's me, right?
Walking down
the street going, why is my gut hanging out?
Well, I think this is about middle-aged guys.
Well, it is.
The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption.
Redemption, yeah.
Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard.
Bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight, far away my well-lit door. Mr. Beer belly. Get these mutts away from me, you know. So
what this is happening?
This is about a guy basically just walking down the street, kind of being a little self, you know, obsessed with his own look and what's going on. Or, you know, not necessarily what's going on all around him, but feeling insecure maybe about his own predicament at the time.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight. Far away my well-lit door. Mr. Beer belly. Get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore.
But this is great that we have an actual songwriter, because you concoct lyrics on a regular basis. That's how your brain works. Now, in a cartoon graveyard, I don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, that one's a little vague. I don't want to be a caricature of myself.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Maybe. That's how I interpret that.
Yeah.
Bone digger, I don't know, dogs in the moonlight, that just kind of comes out of nowhere for me.
Yeah.
But the caricature thing, you know, he's becoming this overweight, maybe a middle-aged guy, feeling a little
Like you're saying, insecure.
Self-conscious about how he looks.
Yeah. Which is a real thing, by the way.
Absolutely.
That's what we go through, right? So, yeah, and I know women probably go through exactly the same thing, and you start questioning, well, so is he looking for a companion who believes in him the way he is?
I think that's a little arbitrary. There was a little thing I found a while back about what Paul Simon said about that.
Okay.
So where did Al and Betty come from? It stems from a 1970 party that Simon hosted with his wife Peggy. So they had a friend, a composer named Stanley Silverman, brought along another composer named Pierre Boulle. And when he made his exit, Boulle called Simon Al and his wife Betty. Boulle was French and he wasn't being rude. It was just his interpretation of what he heard. Paul, Al, Peggy, Betty.
Interesting.
So he used that, I guess he was just, you know, he needed some fictional characters.
Just to mess this up.
Yeah, just to kind of mess it up. This song gets deeper, though. It's heavier than just a self-obsessed fella.
If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al.
Here we go with the next verse here.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations.
So
he's in a different place, a different town, a different country
than
his family is, obviously, right?
So who will be my role model now that my role model is gone? Like somebody in his life died, or a celebrity died that he looked up to, or what happened? Or is his wife is his role model? Or
you know what? It could be my dad's gone.
This is the classic line here. He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. Is that maybe the role model screwed up, stepped out on his wife with the bat-faced roly-poly girl from, you know?
Well, and then that, I don't know if that's just, again, he's walking down the street. This guy is taking in his surroundings, walking down the street. He says, why am I short of attention? Got, you know, again, it's all in his own mind. He's thinking to himself, like, I'm being, you know, I'm obsessed with my own thoughts, with my own life here. Meanwhile, a little girl ducks out and says, you know, she could be tugging at his arm or tugging at his hand or whatever. There were incidents and accidents and hints and allegations. So it's hard to say. I mean, it sounds like a busy street.
Okay, so that's how you're taking it. I'm taking it, there was incidents and accidents. So the guy was a straight, narrow family man, but he stepped out on his wife maybe with somebody who was not that desirable, but he let his functions get away from him or whatever, and that's why hints and allegations came. And maybe that was not his character, maybe that was his dad, his role model, who did that. And then now his role model's gone, and maybe he died, or maybe his ideal of the perfect dad was gone. I don't know.
Be.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it is a...
It's a quagmire, to be sure. Well, Sparky, what do you think?
The thing that throws it is the course.
Yeah.
Because it's just totally... To me, that course is just an arbitrary... You'll be my... I don't know if that has anything to do with the verses, these first two verses that we've read on.
Sparky, give me Paul Simon on the phone.
I'm vaguely familiar with the song, only because it came out in 1986.
Oh, so you haven't even heard the song?
No, I've heard of it.
Oh, you have? Okay. This is a great song.
Call Me Al. Yeah, the whole Betty thing. I never knew what that meant. I never really actually looked at the lyrics before. According to Wikipedia, the lyrics can be interpreted as describing a man experiencing midlife crisis.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay, yeah. We're good to there.
But then apparently Paul Simon himself explained during the Graceland episode of the Classic Albums documentary series, by the third verse, the lyrics move from a generic portrait-like perspective to personal
autobiographical one.
Yeah.
He describes his journey to South Africa, which inspired the entire album. What the what?
So this is him
screwing with
Or a version of him walking down the street in Africa going, you know, right now, right now I'm worried about me getting middle-aged and a beer belly and I'm going to make this record. And all of a sudden, their world.
That's it, man.
I'm in their world.
Yeah, and he's got a roly-poly bat-faced girl who's some, like, weird, you know, something's going on the street in Africa. And, oh, that's right, man. That's it.
So now we get into the third verse, which is...
Speak language, he holds no currency. He is a foreign man. He is surrounded by the sound, sound. Cattle in the marketplace, scatterlings and orphanages. He looks around, around. He sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, amen, hallelujah. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you daddy. Daddy, when you call.
I think this is the first time we solved something.
Problem solved. Ring that bell.
But it is. It's a, it, you know,
I can't get the bell.
We kind of touched on it when, you know, he did go over to Africa to at least at least lay down the bed tracks.
Yeah.
With these artists. So this
but
totally
you're exactly
makes
right.
Sense.
He's a guy who's thinking, I got problems. I got my guts out of control. Yeah. I'm lethargic. I smoke too much.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Africa where they got real problems.
And then, yeah, and then he then goes, you know, I'm bad. In a strange world. It's maybe it's a third world.
We did this.
What a great tune, though.
Oh, let's play it now on It's a Show.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer belly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me out, call me out. We'll be right back.
This song, by the way, has a flute or a whistle solo in it. And I think on either Billboard or something, I remember reading years ago that it's the only song, that a pop song, that it has ever had a flute or a whistle solo that became a hit.
A hit song. Hey, where did this go on the chart? It got to number two in Australia. Belgium, it was number two. In Canada, didn't even crack the top 10, number 11.
Are you serious?
In the States, U.S. Hot 100 singles chart only hit 23.
Wow.
UK 4, South Africa was not even number one.
And apparently this was his last hit, per se, I guess, to have on American radio.
Yeah, and then he just kind of like did his own thing.
Yeah, he sort of started doing that, you know, the artist thing and sort of maybe not chasing the hit thing, or maybe he was and just wasn't happening. But
Ladysmith Black Mbazo. No. Is that what it is? Ladysmith Black Mbazo provided the backup vocals in the song, but are uncredited until Wikipedia got a hold of it, I guess. The penny whistle solo was performed by jazz musician Morris Goldberg. Yeah.
Morris. I was wondering what he was up to.
Wow, that was good, man. Good choice. Well, I really enjoyed that.
I love that. Yeah. And, well, I remember as a younger man, mm-hmm. This was mid-80s, I think, so this came out. So I was probably 24 years old when this record came out. But I just remember it being, at the time, there was so much. I grew up, you know, through the 70s and stuff. So my music, per se, the music-changing life for me is my teenage years through the 70s. So, the Boston, Fleetwood Mac, the pop rock stuff, along with the country,
which
stuff
was
too.
Amazingly well produced. Oh, incredible.
Yeah. So there was a lot of great music. So when a record like that, you know, like, wow, Paul Simon went to Africa to record with those players and make a pop album out of it, it was a huge. It was just Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. Take to Memphis, Tennessee. Remember that stuff?
Which is where I've wanted to go since I was this big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? So
never been to
Memphis. It was one of those albums that'll always, whether or not it sold a gazillion records, it'll always stand out as being a unique record because of that. I think
we've got a wrap on episode number 20 of It's a Show with our special guest star Dwayne Steele. Dwayne, I think it's safe to say, Spark, that he's welcome back anytime.
Of course.
I just want to say thank you, guys.
Well, you're right across the street, pretty much. So, you know, you got an all-access pass.
Absolutely.
Sparky keeps the key under the mat.
And remember, when it's nicer out, we're going to take this show to your deck.
Yes, or Dwayne's deck. And,
is it more impressive?
Well, I'm halfway. I'm literally halfway between
Dwayne's
your
got
place.
Some crazy neighbors that we can watch while we're doing the show, so maybe we can get half our episode content out of there. And maybe next time when we're on the deck, you can play.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Sure.
Yeah. Get some outdoor sound from Dwayne Steele, and good luck on the fair and festival circuit and all the stadium shows you're doing.
Yes,
this
thank
year.
You. The stadium shows, yes.
We never even touched on Dwayne Steele's career as a producer and his degree in production from Berkeley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I actually, you know, my production thing is sort of minimal, so to speak. I'm still looking for that artist that's going to sort of break through and stuff. But I've been very fortunate as a songwriter to meet, Canada in general is full of some wonderfully talented.
It's the greatest thing about your gig now, right? Because you're so multifaceted in your approach to music. You write, you record your own stuff, but you write with so many other people and you produce select people.
Yeah.
So you're meeting all of these new minds and new great writers.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And it's, for me, I guess the backside of my sort of more commercial success or whatever, it's sort of a kick in the pants and a bit of an inspiration, you know. So it's been, I've got a double whammy going on there in terms of, good things.
I think we should end the episode the way we started the segment with Dwayne, with all of his hits all mushed together. Here we go. I got a move.
The kind the drugstore said. If you really want to break a heart, just read Leaving Made Easy. The trouble with love is it has no sense of direction.
ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for It's a Show.
Until next time, keep in touch.
Finger guns.